Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You guys bring the podcast.
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter from Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. This is the Wednesday edition of Locked On Rams. We're excited. It's actually an off day, so we're going to get to some awesome information that I've brought my co-host, my buddy here, James Kroger. James, thanks for joining the show. How are you doing, bud?
Hey, Bear. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Looking at or hearing yesterday of who the guests you're going to have on for the rest of the week, I guess I'm the appetizer or the warm-up to the big dogs. But thanks for having me on midweek, big guy, and I'm glad to have you back from Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Rolled back into L.A. today, and it's like 85. I left. It was 113, so I don't know how they do it out there. My mom keeps telling me, it's a dry heat. So good for her. They got the AC cranking, and hopefully it cools down a little bit. But yeah, it's good to be back. And James, you're right. We got an awesome slot of shows this week, and it starts with you, big guy. You are the appetizer, and I'm sure many people would order more and get full off the James Kroger appetizer. But you're right. We've got Serena Morales, and then I actually am going to slide in Vinny for Friday. He's our fantasy footballer on the Locked On Podcast Network, so we're excited to talk some fantasy stuff, which me and you will get to in the later weeks as we kind of start to plot out our drafts. But you're right. Not only that, a great show today. I had some things that I talked about yesterday, and we talked a little bit off air, and I want to get your some opinions on some things because I was kind of left to just kind of ramble yesterday by myself and say what I thought, but I kind of wanted to throw it against you and get your opinion. So we're going to talk a little bit about our quarterback two position, what we're going to do with that. Are we set? Are we okay? Do we need to move forward? And we're also going to hit on our preseason plan, right? I want to talk a little bit more about that, hear your thoughts on what we should do. Should we be really cautious, or should we kind of dibble and dabble in there, or how we're going to approach that? And then since we didn't have a Rams practice today and not much news was released and we don't have any more injury updates, I want to talk a little bit as we jump around the NFL and kind of just peruse the NFL and talk about some things going on around the league. So before we get going, guys, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. We're on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere where you download or stream podcast. You can also find us online at Locked On Rams on Instagram and Twitter, Rams Podcast as well on Instagram and Twitter, and then our personals at jkroger3 and at LA_ramblingbear on Twitter. So reach out to us, say what's up, interact, ask us some questions. As we get closer to the season, we're going to do a mailbag Monday. We're going to get you guys interacting more and get some questions going once the season kind of kicks off. So, James, I guess we'll just kind of jump into it. Let's talk about the most, blaring spot on our roster right now, which in a nice way, we have Jared Goff standing in at QB1. But if he goes down and something happens and we've got to look to go to another quarterback and we've got this high-powered offense and people are going to start teeing off on Todd Gurley and loading the box like they did a few years ago when we had Case Keenum and Jared Goff was in his first year under Jeff Fisher. What do we do at that number two quarterback? How do you feel? How confident are you with Sean Mannion? Do we stick with him? Do we give him, see how he goes in the next couple of games? Or do we start having to look around the league and look for a replacement?
That's a real sticky situation. I'm so happy I got his autograph last year at training camp. I'm going to frame that one. But just watching the game last week against Baltimore, Mannion was the biggest disappointment out there, and it was just really unfortunate to see him fall apart like that. There was so much time between when he got the ball and when he let go of it. He was 3 for 13, one interception. But yeah, it was kind of unexpected and really disappointing for this team. But to answer your question as far as what direction we're going to do, I'm really curious to see how, one, Sean McVay is going to handle the situation. Practice on Monday, apparently he had both Brandon Allen and Sean Mannion split back at the QB2 position, and they were getting about 50% of the reps each. So I think he's kind of testing Brandon Allen a little bit more, who obviously performed a lot better in the preseason game one that we saw, but probably was against the third team, the third string for Baltimore. But Brandon Allen obviously was anybody was better than Sean Mannion at that point. So as far as looking around the league is concerned, I think everybody's having the same conversation on who would fit well with this team. My personal favorite right now is probably somebody like Teddy Bridgewater, who, got to experience a lot of firsts, on Friday in his game because, you know, obviously he had the dislocated knee injury that kept him out the past couple of years. But, you know, his first – he got a touchdown in the game. He was 7 for 8, 85 yards, and led them to 2 scoring drives. And what really impressed me most out of the way he played was – I guess just that he looked the part. It was the way that he played. He played like a quarterback who has been in the league and been playing for the past 2 years. So, you know, I think he's definitely somebody who could step it up in that backup position. Also, people have been really talking about RG3. You know, he doesn't really seem to fit on his team as Lamar Jackson was able to prove himself. And then, you know, they do have their starter in Baltimore already. So he's someone who has kind of been floating around as well, and his name's been talked about. He's got a little bit more experience in the league, but the experience is really nothing to brag about or be excited about. I don't know if it'd be worth it to make that move, eventually get him onto this roster, because hopefully his playing time would be minimal. But it's a real sticky situation, and I am happy to see that Brandon Allen's getting a few more of the reps in practice. And, you know, even Aqib Talib intercepted Mannion on Monday's practice, and you know he jumped a pass, and he even put it up on Instagram today with a comment that said "Say cheese." So he got that interception. It doesn't sound too impressive because Mannion just loves to give those away, but really kind of concerned here about QB number 2, dude.
Yeah, I think Mannion's got, obviously, this coming Saturday against Oakland Raiders. We've got another game the following Saturday again. I think when you get to about that preseason 3 game is about where he's got to really understand, okay, what are we going to do here? Has he shown improvement? The thing is, as you hear from Rams camp, Sean McVay seems to really love Sean Mannion. He always, you know, he was hard on him, like most of us were, as far as, you know, he's got to get better. You talked about how they split with Allen. Allen looked better, but still didn't seem comfortable back there. I mean, it was a huge drop off as far as talent goes there, and it's going to be interesting to see how that goes in this coming game, how the play calling comes in, and who gets majority time. And you named it a couple guys there, and you said Teddy Bridgewater. The interesting thing is, as that New York Jets training camp develops, if Teddy gets into the number 2 spot, they've got McCown there, who I think is also a good option. I don't know if they're going to end up trying to carry 3 quarterbacks, if we're going to have to trade to go get somebody if we do want somebody at a number 2. RG3, again, really sinking into that 3 spot, but has looked good. And, you know, again, are they going to cut him at a certain point and release him to try to go get with another team? Are we going to have to trade for him? It's crazy. We talked about how the 90-man roster now and how training camp is set up is you can carry 90 guys all the way up to the last preseason game and through the last preseason game. And at that point, you have to make your decision and make the cut down to the 53. Before, they started kind of small cut, so a lot more guys became available, and you could bring them into camp with a week left, 2 weeks left. At this point, you're either going to have to go trade for them, or you're going to have to wait till the last preseason game is over and bring in a guy right at the beginning of the season and kind of catch him up to speed, which is a little bit risky. But there's a couple other guys out there that have, you know, sparked a little bit of interest for me as well. You mentioned Teddy and RG3, those two guys, I think, remain at the top of the list as far as who's, you know, actually performed in the preseason so far. Here's kind of a random oddball. Chad Kelly, he's Jim Kelly's nephew. I think he played in college and did pretty well. He kind of came out. He was actually the last pick of the draft this year, and he has beaten out Paxton Lynch for the number 2 spot. Again, I don't know if that now makes him untouchable to move over, or if we go make a trade for him. Or if we maybe want to grab a guy like Paxton Lynch, who's really struggled, but get him in a new system. And, you know, he's a high draft pick. And then a couple other guys I got that are out there still. And I'm just going to throw the name out there. I know it really gets it boils the blood a little bit. But Colin Kaepernick is still out there.
I thought about that. I was wondering if you're going to say that.
Yeah, of course I do. I mean, L.A., big market. You know, our organization seems like they've got one thing on mind, and that's about winning ball games. We haven't had a problem with this team as far as how they handled that issue and the anthem. We had Robert Quinn last year who did his own little protest with, you know, putting his fist up. He didn't take a knee or anything like that. But another guy that's got a huge amount of talent, could be a good guy just to get back into the NFL. I don't really see it happening, but I would actually really support our team, the Rams, going out there and getting a guy like that, because it shows, hey, we're here for talent. We're not here. We don't care what the president's tweeting about. We don't care about NFL blackballing them. But that is the thing, you know, if is this black ball real? Is it over our heads? And, you know, the owners have this unspoken agreement or for whatnot. So we'll see. He's out there, though. I doubt he's going to be brought in, but he's out there.
The only thing I have to say about that is let's not forget who our owner is and how much money our owner donated to the Trump campaign. So I think a lot of people are with you. And, you know, a lot of people would love to have him as backup. That'd be amazing. And he's definitely got the talent. But let's remember that this is a business with politics involved. And our owner, unfortunately, is a billionaire who has donated a lot of that money to someone who is very much against players like Kaepernick. So, you know, I love your idea, but let's keep our minds in check.
Yeah, you're shooting it down. That's all right. Well, as you go back to that RG3, there is a little bit of a connection. I believe Sean McVay was there when RG3 was there, so they mm-hmm. have some relationships. They know each other in that sense, and he looks healthy. So I think that's probably out of the names that we kind of mentioned would probably be the lead there. Again, we don't even know if they're interested at this point. Obviously, you would expect any organization that saw their number two quarterback struggle as much as Sean Mannion did. It was only one preseason game, but that's all we've been allowed to chew on at this point. So that's all we can really critique on. So he's got to come out and perform on Saturday. But it's a big deal for him coming into this game. He's got to go out there and prove his worth. And before everyone else hits the panic button inside the organization, he can calm them down pretty quick if he comes out and just performs at the Coliseum on Saturday.
That's right. So we will see Sean Mannion out there against Oakland. And, you know, he's got to really turn it around. But, dude, I mean, is he really on the chopping block? Do you think they would cut him if he had a pretty bad performance again this week? Or is he kind of one of those guys that we're pissed about it and let's talk trash about it, but he's going to stay QB2?
I mean, who knows? I don't know what the Rams' plan is as far as are we going to try to keep three quarterbacks at this point. There's not worth of three quarterbacks to keep, but if they bring in somebody to make a real push at number two, and then at the end of camp or however, you know, however this develops, if they get in there like, well, you know, let's say RG3 comes in and he's way better, then you're still committed to not caring three people. Maybe you bump Sean Mannion to the practice squad for a little bit, or you release him and let him try to go find work elsewhere, or we just kind of put up with it and he excels over the next couple weeks and we keep him and all panic is, you know, set aside. But
I have a feeling that McVay's going to simplify. You know, he's so complex with his offense. And we even heard on that clip you played before your show yesterday the kinds of play calling he's doing. But, you know, he has such a complex offense. Even Tlaib came out and said that, you know, if we get double teamed or if somebody else defensively figures out the scheme that Sean McVay is working with, he's going to change it up immediately. So one is complex, but at the same time, he understands it so well that he's going to be able to completely simplify this and get us a little bit of success, you know, chip away at yards, hopefully in the beginning of the game. And also, he probably doesn't want to give away too many of his somewhat complex plays because, awkwardly, we're playing Oakland Monday Night Football, September 10th of the first game of the season in front of the whole United States. So I have a feeling also Sean McVay is going to do him a service and really simplify things and make it easier for him to get the little dump offs. Maybe we'll see a lot more from John Kelly potentially at the number two spot and on you know, I know he's not number two spot on as running back, but maybe getting some more playing time there with Mannion and being able to do some of the things that Todd Gurley has done. So, you know, I also anticipate that, you know, McVay's going to meet him halfway and to really help him chip away on Saturday when we get to see them play. And another thing I want to throw out there, you know, let's not forget about Mr. Johnny Hecker. I mean, let's get him some QB time. He had a couple passes last year, but maybe, you know, you're the best punter in the NFL right now, but maybe, you know, if we need you, we could step in at QB2.
There you go. We've got our depth at quarterback, whether it's in the quarterback position or not. Well, James, let's step aside really quick. We'll get a word from our sponsors. We'll come back. We'll talk about more preseason action and how to approach that. And some news from around the NFL. So we'll be right back. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. We are with James Kroger from Rams Podcast. James, I'm excited. We're actually going to jump over after this and do a Rams Podcast. We're going to do a full-on hour's worth. So if you guys are wanting to dig into some more and want to hear me and James continue to banter, be on the lookout for Rams Podcast to drop in the next few days. Again, those handles are at Rams Podcast, Instagram, Twitter. And then again, you're listening to Locked On Rams, the Wednesday edition. And you can find us at Locked On Rams on Instagram and Twitter and LA_RamblingBear and JKroger3. Well, James, I kind of wanted to kick in. I kind of went on a little mini rant yesterday about preseason. And I think where I stand is I do want to see these guys play about, 10 to 15 plays and then, get them rested. But be precautious. I want to hear your take. Am I crazy that I want them to play? Or do you think defense should play but not offense? Because offense has had, that fluidity of last year, only really adding Brandon Cooks. But what's your feel on preseason and playing these starters? How long, how much, or none?
Honestly, dude, I think in the Sean McVay era, I am getting more and more okay if they sit during all four games. And I listened to you talk about it on Locked On Rams yesterday. And, I think half of you and everybody else in Rams Nation is really anxious to see what these guys are capable of and what they're going to be doing. But also, as you mentioned yesterday, too, we're going to kill it against anybody who's starting in preseason. Talk about our next game. We don't want to really throw anything out there against Oakland. To give anything away for the Monday night, the much anticipated Monday night game. And I think it's only going to make that Monday night game so much better for everybody in Rams Nation if we have to wait so long. You mentioned yesterday also that, you said these guys are professionals and, they need to be able to have the capabilities to play even in the preseason games. But kind of flipping that around on you, they are professionals. And Todd Gurley, he was interviewed yesterday during camp and was asked about, week one. And he basically said, once week one comes around, you have no choice but to be ready. So you're right. These guys are professionals. And with that said, maybe they don't need to be wasting their risk of getting injured in any of these preseason games. We've seen so far this year people that have gotten injured, and even last year, and just looking at our own team. I mean, I did kind of think when you mentioned throwing the defense out there, potentially team one defense for 10 to 15 reps, we already got Blaine Countess hurt in game one, and Tlaib, he's fine now, obviously, but he had something go down in practice. So I think we're still getting ramped up to the season, and I would rather have everybody going 100% on that first Monday Night Football game, even though we haven't seen much of them. And another side note to that is, honestly, we get to face a pretty solid squad, whether you look at it on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball. Our wide receiver core, Cooks, Woods, Kupp, who I think Kupp right now actually has the most touchdowns in camp during the 11-on-11 drills. He's just killing it right now. With that said, we take those receivers and then you have them facing Marcus Peters, Aqib Tlaib, and LaMarcus Joyner on the defensive one side of the ball. I mean, it's almost like you're putting a small all-star team together to go against these top wide receivers. So I think they're getting plenty of competitiveness and opportunities to learn in practice, even though they aren't going 100% that they would in a game. And even if it was a preseason game, I wouldn't expect them to go to 100%. So I'd rather not have any letdowns, any injuries, any performance that scares us. If we see Kupp drop a ball or Goff doesn't complete the deep route to Woods right away, I don't want us getting all worked up about it because it's just an extended practice. And preseason is the opportunity really to allow the depth to shine on a team, especially like ours, who was the top point scoring offense all of last year. I'm totally okay with it. I am giving you your devil's advocate that you asked for yesterday on your show. And I'm cool with them sitting, although, dude, believe me, I'm so anxious. I'm just anxious as you to see what Goff's going to do and the defense. And it's driving me crazy. But, we're getting there. We're getting there.
I think you said it best. It's really just my selfishness of wanting to see these guys get out there, run around, and put some points up. And my whole thing is, I think I'd be really easy and okay with the offense not playing at all, as I mentioned, to kind of kick that off. Brandon Cooks is the only piece that we're adding, right? We had such great rhythm last year. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew how to work. We've heard great reports out of camp that Cooks and Goff are on the same page and, connecting in practice and things like that. But that defense, I do want to see him out there, especially with the Raiders in town. And it's going to be the first football back in L.A. since that Atlanta game. I think it's going to be a decent crowd. I don't think it's going to be an amazing crowd, but I think people are so excited for football that a lot of people are going to be heading out to the stadium. could get potentially out. A lot of Raider fans as well. So it's that point where you got to bring in the defense, and they've never worked together in a sense before coming together now, and trying to work in what a loud stadium could be like, and working on the signals and the calls and the communication and how they're going to rotate and who, how they play together in actual live action against another team. So I wouldn't mind seeing them out there for about 15 plays. Again, you're right, we've had some people banged up and it's a little nerve-wracking, but I would love to see the defense work a little bit because there are a lot of fill-in pieces from last year, and they're great guys, and we hear chemistry is going on so far, but I want to see it a little bit. So I would maybe, if I'm gonna meet you halfway, I'll say, okay, fine, sit the offense, let Goff rest again. Maybe that third preseason game, get 10 plays. I don't know. I'm still going to push for it a little bit. But I would like
to. I did want to ask you.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you, man, if you had the choice. You know, typically as you get into to preseason game three or four, it's less likely for the starters to go out there, obviously due to injury. But if you had the choice, would you rather have them come out game two and toss some reps up in the beginning, or would you rather have them come out in the last preseason before we get going?
You know, I think I would really like, you know, I guess if I'm going to build out my plan here, I think offense sits this preseason. We get a couple good days of practice coming up. They got a rest day on Friday before the game on Saturday. Rest the O, let defense play 15 snaps, come out week three, and let the offense get maybe two drives. I don't know, maybe, and you limit it to those 15 plays again. Just something to have some flow, right? Something to get a little bit of that, almost like a scrimmage. How we did against the Baltimore Ravens. We didn't hold them back in that scrimmage, although even though I know the contact isn't as serious in those as far as going to the ground and everything like that. So, but I'd like to see him play in preseason three. And then obviously we know everyone pulls back preseason game four, and that's when we really figure out who our backup quarterback's going to be at that point, and who's those last few roster spots and how they're going to fill up on the special teams and things like that. And hopefully we can get out healthy. I think I mentioned it yesterday. I think we're at about 19 season-ending injuries so far, and most people haven't even gotten to preseason game two yet. So it's pretty crazy, and the stats kind of show you to rest, but we'll see how McVay does it. He mentioned in his presser the other day, he hasn't really decided. He's probably going to fill us in either tomorrow or Thursday on his plan on how he wants to approach that. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that, and I'll definitely bring that back to you guys here on Locked On Rams with whatever McVay has. I'll bring you that clip.
Cool. And, you know, just to argue more against the preseason game three thing, you know, I like that too. But at the same time, the last thing I want to do is go into preseason game three and then give them another break. Let's, you know, remember last year against the 49ers, we took that week off, and then it was just kind of devastating because it disrupted the flow. But yeah, I want to see it too. But if we did preseason game three and then let them sit out game four, which everybody does in the NFL, I don't want to start off like that. But so I'm sticking to my don't play them.
Sticking to it. I like it. And it's crazy, man. We played Monday night. That Sunday of week one is going to be so hard. I mean, we've got to wait all these preseason games. Yeah. We're talking about how incredibly hard it is, and we're going to see a full slate of football on Sunday, and we're gonna have to wait another day for our game, and that's gonna be one of the toughest days. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be a full day of red zone. I always love when the Rams play late in the afternoon because you get the whole morning of red zone football. You don't have to feel like you're missing out on that action, but you know, it's gonna be a fun day of football, but it's gonna be tough, man, to hold out that extra
24
hours.
Second Monday night football game. So we got to sit through another game on Monday Night Football, and then we play.
So it's so close, but yet so far away. James, we're going to jump over one more time for a quick word from our sponsors. We're going to be back with a quick around the NFL to wrap up the show. All right, James, thanks again so much for joining us, guys. Third time's a charm. Go give him a follow at jkroger3, Rams Podcast. Lots of awesome stuff. Hit subscribe both at Lockdown Rams and Rams Podcast. Hear these two wonderful voices talk Rams football all day, every day. That's what we do here on the Locked On Podcast Network. So before we get out of here, I just kind of wanted to hop around the league. We haven't had a lot of breaking news or a lot of stuff going on since it was an off day for the Rams today. They'll be back to practice as you're listening to this potentially tomorrow. So But I wanted to just kind of jump around. James, I'm not sure if you heard some of these things, but a couple things I wanted to lead with was I saw some NFL team suspensions, not really from the NFL, but they reacted in two completely different ways, and I wanted to hear your take on it. The Jacksonville Jaguars suspended their stud cornerback, all-pro Jalen Ramsey, and Deontay Fowler. They had an altercation during practice, not so much together, but and then they came over and kind of chirping at reporters, and then they took it on to social media and basically told this reporter that posted the video to, you know, watch it and blah, 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 and just kind of came at him. The Jaguars came out and said that's not how we're supposed to interact with our, you know, local media, and they suspended him for a week, so he's not going, they're not going up. They have a joint practice. I believe it was with the Minnesota Vikings, and they're not going to go do the joint practice. They're not going to be in the game. Not a huge deal in the preseason, right? If this was regular season, a little bit bigger deal, but pretty amazing to spend two big star players right during this, you know, ramp-up time. And then the other suspension is from the Browns, Antonio Callaway. He was not suspended, I guess. His punishment for, he got pulled over for potential marijuana, and he didn't tell the coach, and it kind of came out.
Cleveland OG?
Yeah, Cleveland OG, man. It's a stanky. And so, but his punishment from Hugh Jackson was, I'm going to make you play the whole game, every single snap, which to me is like, a reward? I don't know. Like, these football players want to play at this point. But what is your take? Did Jacksonville go too far? Did the Browns not go far enough? What do you think?
The Browns thing is really weird. That, and I'm sure you heard about their Bud Light machine that's going to be busted open in their first win.
I saw a little bit about that. What's that about?
So it's basically just like what are those machines called? Soda machine. Isn't there another name for them?
Vending machine.
I got a vending machine full of Budweiser, Bud Light, that essentially is going to be smashed open. I like it. I like the motivation on getting them the first win of the season, because I don't think they really start off with too easy of a schedule, and the Browns aren't a team that wins nearly ever. So
yeah.
I like the incentive. You know, it's going to be a fun celebration if they end up getting that win. Probably won't happen until week 3 or 4, but it's cool that they're actually doing that. And then as far as the punishment, saying that you're going to play more, well, I mean, I don't know if I think the coach is maybe thinking that marijuana is going to really slow him down or something like that, and he's going to suffer by playing more. But that's kind of a weird punishment. And then to the Jacksonville thing, I did not hear about that, but it's really, honestly, at the end of the day, it's not going to be a huge deal.
No deal. Okay. Yeah, that Bud Light vending machine cooler thing is pretty cool. I guess I kind of quick looked it up. They're going to be putting it out at like 15 to 20 local bars. So when they win, there's chains on them, and they're going to break it out, and everyone gets free beer. So it's kind of a city celebration, good Bud Light promotion. The only sad thing about that is when they win, you're just
stuck. It's Bud Light?
Yeah, you're stuck with Bud Light. So then maybe people are going to go to the bar.
That's the only snobbery coming out of us.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But yeah, it's maybe they're going to go to the bar and see, I got 3 Bud Lights. Can I trade it for 1 good beer? But hey, good promotion. Hopefully they break that streak early for all those Browns fans, or else they're just going to steal the beer anyway. And we'll find out a little bit more about that Antonio Callaway. I haven't seen the new Hard Knocks, so maybe they talked about it there a little bit more detailed, but something to keep an eye on. A couple other things, nothing too serious, I don't think, but Ben Roethlisberger is in concussion protocol. He kind of had a little, got banged up a little bit at practice, so they're being precautious
with
him.
And he's 58 years old.
It's crazy. You know, we're going to get into fantasy football here later in the week, but I saw a lot. ESPN just did their 24 hours of fantasy football, and he was one of the names for the big QB bust to look out for. And that's scary when you have Antonio Brown up near the top of that list as far as on the draft board. I know Antonio Brown is a freak, and he does amazing things, and Ben's just got to get it near him for him to make plays. But that's something to watch out for. If Big Ben, if he's already getting, you know, hurting at this point, and concussions, I mean, those are things that linger. It's just not something good, especially, like you said, at the age and the distance into his career he's at. So something to watch out for as well.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger's been just kind of, you know, as far as fantasy football is concerned and what Brown's going to be able to do. I mean, you also got to rely on Roethlisberger in the situation. And it wasn't it last year where he was even questioning how much longer he's going to be in the league and was kind of being pouty. And then, you know, now he's coming on saying he's got easily 3 to 5 more seasons in the league. And then he gets a concussion. during preseason. I mean, you know, it's could be a big bust. I was kidding about his age, but he is 36 years old. You know, he's not promising. I mean, I know he obviously ends up being awkwardly really a really good quarterback, especially on fantasy. But, you know, maybe his time has come. And, yeah. You know, that conversation can head over to the Tom Brady situation where he's always been, I think, a top fantasy QB. And I don't know, he's been in the league for 20 years. But is he getting too old now? And we can have that conversation on another podcast. But Ben Roethlisberger is definitely in the same boat there.
Something to look out for. I think I'm going to definitely stay away from for sure. Too many good quarterbacks out there to go, you know, risking with that. So, and then lastly, kind of another interesting story that I saw come out of Miami. They cut veteran defensive lineman Gabe Wright after he charged and blindsided Kenyon Drake. After a play, there was a skirmish, shall you, and Drake didn't have his helmet on, but it was a big cheap shot apparently, and the organization came out and said it was time for us to move on. Don't really think I need to get into more details than that, the coach Adam Gase said, but it happened the day after the incident, the fight, and they basically said they don't want that on their team. So if you're having own cheap shots on your team, time to go, buddy. But again, just brings you back to Rams camp. You've seen always in you know, camp time that teams start fighting against each other, and there's some cheap shots and things like that because you've been battling, you know, for 3 weeks in the heat against the same people, and you're just dying to get against somebody else, and your coaches are, you know, riding you to, you know, be intense and, you know, to offense versus defense and things like that. But the one good thing you can say about the Rams is we haven't had that yet. These guys are taking competition very seriously, but having fun with it. Sean McVay brings a very good team atmosphere, but also an intense and competitive environment. So good for the Rams. Another thing that gets me really excited is you talked about maybe we should sit some of these guys. It makes me feel a little bit better. Again, under the McVay era, as you mentioned earlier, if this was something else I won't mention, then yeah, you probably want to see a little bit more in-game action, but we're pretty good there. So I thought that was interesting out of Dolphins, but that's just a quick little jump around. Nothing crazy going on. Le'Veon Bell's still not in camp. Obviously, Aaron Donald's still not in camp. Figure we had to have one little plug of AD, but the news is hopefully soon, maybe within this week, and we can talk about it. If not, I know a guy I can call next week if he shows up.
Dude, one more thing I want to throw out there for those of you that are listening to us. Have you mentioned on Locked On in a while that we're going to be combining our NFL Pick'em with Rams Podcast?
I'm waiting for the details, big guy. You send out that email link, and I will blast the world with it. Everyone's waiting for it. I've gotten a couple people DM me that they're interested in. We're going to put together some prize packs. I'm glad you mentioned it. But, yeah, we're going to do an NFL Pick'em. Love to have you guys on. We had about, I don't know, 70 people last year just off of Rams Podcast. We're going to try to get it up and over. Maybe we can get about 150, 200 people if we can really push this. It'll be a bunch of fun, and we'll it'll be free to play, but we'll have some prizes along the way. Maybe we'll do like a halfway there prize, and then all the way full-time winner. But glad you mentioned that. Feel free to join into that. Questions, comments, concerns, you already know how to get a hold of us. So with that said, Rams Nation, you know what it is. Until next time, peace.